I'm Zig Ziglar, and let me simply say, as we go into the third 6-tape portion of the entire How to Stay Motivated series, I simply must tell you that some of the recordings might sound a little bit different because we've done it in a different location. I want to give you one additional bit of information that's not in the series because it's just been brought to my attention. In 1920, Stanford University embarked on a study of 1,440 genius-level youngsters. They followed them all of their life. When the man who originally did the research retired, they simply passed it on in his department. And here's what they discovered. Those who became outstanding successes were not successful because of their genius. They were successful because they had the ability to focus in on what was important and then persist until they reached it. Now, you don't have to be a genius to do that. Let me simply encourage you, take seriously the messages you have now been hearing, because if you do, I will see you, and yes, I really do mean you, at the top. This morning, we're going to be talking on the Complete Goals program. Lots of people have individual goals, but very few people have goals programs. Several years ago, to emphasize a point, I was speaking up in the Pacific Northwest, not far from Portland, Oregon, and I was speaking to the Northwestern Lumbermen's Association. Now, as my granddaughter would say, this was in the olden days. I mean, it was a number of years ago. Well, can you imagine those woodcutters there, those lumbermen, those lumberjacks, big dudes. I mean, they all looked like they could have been playing defensive end for the Cowboys, all right? Now, the man in charge said, Zig, these people like to hear a lot of stories and jokes, so be sure and tell them a lot of jokes. Well, I was going full speed ahead, and all of a sudden, a great big dude, about 6'4", weighed about 275 pounds, stood up and said, Zig! He said, I got a story I want to tell you. Well, I have a standard policy. Anybody who's 6'4" tall and weighs about 275 pounds and want to tell me a story, I let them. So I said, go ahead, partner. He said, want to tell you about my buddy Bill. I said, stand up, Bill. Little dude about 5'2" tall, couldn't weigh over 120 pounds soaking wet, stood up. And he said, this is my buddy Bill Carlotta. Now, old Bill come into camp here a few weeks ago and walked up to me and said, shake hands with your new tree topper. And he said, I looked at him. I said, Bill, a tree topper? That's a dude that climbs all the way to the top of the tree and cuts the top out. And then you got to hang on for dear life. I said, Bill, that's a job for a man and you're just a boy. And he said, old Bill didn't do nothing but pull off his shirt. And he said, I'm a man. And Zig, I'm here to tell you, he is a man. He is all muscle. But he said, I still wasn't convinced. Old Bill said, tell you what, let's go out in the woods, pick out a tree, tell me how long it would take your best man to put it on the ground, and I'll do it in half the time. Well, we went out in the woods and we picked out this spruce tree, and Ziggy said, I don't have a man in camp that I could have put it on the ground in less than 40 minutes. But old Bill went to work on that sucker, and I'll tell you, that ash looked like it was a solid sheet. In less than 10 minutes, that tree was on the ground. And I said to him, I said, Bill, where on earth did you learn how to cut down trees like that? He said, I learned in the Sahara forest. In the Sahara forest, Bill, the Sahara is a desert. He said, it is now. Now, there was a guy who had an attitude that I think you'll agree was absolutely a positive one. Kind of like the lady who on her 100th birthday was being treated by her hairdresser to a free beauty treatment. And as they were talking, and the beauty dresser said to her, you know, you are exactly twice as old as I am. Then it got awfully quiet, and the lady getting the permanent doll looked terribly depressed. She said, what's the matter? And she said, I was just thinking, who on earth am I going to get to take care of my hair when you get too old to do it? Now, you see, there is a lady who was an optimistic person. A lot of people go prepared. I heard about this fellow that was at a banquet. He was a banquet speaker. And for the food that evening, there was a Greek salad, and there was an olive seed in it. Well, you know, olive seeds are terrifically hard. They're like rocks. Well, he bit down on it and broke his plate. Well, he was very distressed, and he said to the guy next to him, "I don't know what I'm going to do. My plate's broke." And the guy said, "That's no problem." He reached in his pocket and he pulled out a plate. He said, "See if this will fit." And the guy slipped it on, and he said, "No, it's too big." He said, "No problem." He reached in another pocket, pulled out another one, he put it in. He said, "No, this one's too little." He reached in yet a third pocket, pulled out another one, the guy slipped on, perfect fit. He said, "Man, how lucky can you get? Here I am, break my plate, and I sit down next to a dentist." He said, "I'm not a dentist, I'm an undertaker." Now things are not always as they seem. There was a guy who was prepared. Now, I want to say, as we look at a goals program, that life is very much like a cafeteria line. A number of years ago, the redhead and I, now if you've been listening, you know that the redhead is the way I lovingly refer to my wife at her request. The redhead and I, we saw this new cafeteria. Some of you might remember it. It was Romano's, just opened out on North Central Expressway. And we knew it was going to be good because the line was always out the door. Well, we're not willing to wait that long in line, so we kept going past. And then one day we rode past and we couldn't see a line. So I said, "Hey, it looks like we can get in there today. Let's go." We parked, walked in, and we understood why the line was not outside, because it was wound all over the building. Well, they already parked, so we got in line, and as we walked down the line about 30 feet long this way, we were talking, of course, and we got down to the end of the line, turned around, and there's another line of 30 people, so we're still walking and talking, and we walked down this way, and we got down to that one, and there's another line of 30 people. But this time, we could see the food. And as we walked down the line, I said to myself, "Now I'm going to get me some of that, and I want me some of that. Yeah, that looks good. I'll have me some of that. I want some of that." I love to eat in cafeterias. I like to see what I'm going to eat before I, you know, before I choose it. And so I'd already made up my mind. Now that's important, because I don't care how prodigious your appetite is, you cannot eat some of everything that's on the line. Now, when I got down to the end of that line, there were the trays and the silver, you know, and so I got in line, and I said, "I'll have me some of that, and I want me some of that, and give me some of that, and I'll take some of that, and yeah, I want some of that." Well, I didn't delay anybody. I knew what I wanted. Got to the end of the line, I reached in, took out my money. The lady at the end of the line held up her hand, and she said, "No, you don't pay for it until you get ready to leave." I said, "You mean you're going to let me eat all this food before I pay for it?" She said, "Yeah, that's just the way we do it." Now, you know, I have thought about that a lot of times. Life is exactly like a cafeteria line, inasmuch as we've got so many things to choose from. And in that cafeteria line, you get to eat and then you pay. Now, life is not like a cafeteria line, because in life, you pay and then you eat. Your employer will make you work from 2 to 4 weeks before he or she will give you a dime. That's the way we treat our people. We make them work before we give them the pay. The farmer plants the crop, he raises it, he fertilizes it, does all of the things. Then and only then can it go to the marketplace and he be rewarded for his effort. The student studies their lessons. Then they take the test, then they graduate, then they receive the award. But the point is very simple. You've got to do those things in order for things to happen for you. You got to do those before you're rewarded.